So we're talking about, you know, beholding the glory of the Lord. Beholding what? Now you see in the Bible, God talks about his glory. Now since we can't see God and see his person and see his majesty, but God shows his glory by what he does. By what he does. So in the Old Testament, he was talking about, you see, I'm going to show my glory through Pharaoh. I'm going to demonstrate my glory through Pharaoh. And he demonstrated incredible acts of God that man didn't even see before. He did incredible miracles, revealing himself. And then through those acts of God, his glory was being revealed because nobody ever saw God. But he was revealing his glory from his acts. And all the wonderful things he did. As wonderful as all of them were, he did them through angels. He used angels to get Israel out, the angel of pillar and fire, that's what angels. Did all of that through angels, all of that through angels. A couple of them, he'll come by his glory and do some things. But in the New Testament, he did it himself without the medium of angels and nobody. That was God in action, direct action. And what he did in the last testament, in the New Testament, is greater in glory than all the miracles we saw in the Old Testament. Nothing comes near. It's unimaginable, the power that God unleashed in delivering mankind, setting us free. He took on the kingdom of darkness itself. This sent an angel. He took them on. Took on everything that messed his creation up. Took them on and dealt with them mercilessly, dealt with them, they will never recover from it. But these things, the Bible calls this mystery that's hidden, that is revealed. It's a spiritual thing. If we see these miracles in the Old Testament, they were physical things, but this one is spiritual. Greater in value, eternal, totally eternal in the spiritual realm. Earth began to respond. We saw, man, it was amazing that the whole earth began to shake. Some blacked out. Entire some blacked out. There was earthquake everywhere. God was unleashing power. His presence was everywhere. Doing something that no angel could do. Doing something no man could do. The Bible says the host, there was a search in heaven. If there was anybody who could, God could use, they say none was. None was what? What? Except the Lamb, God himself. So God could do this. And so what God does directly cannot be, you can't begin to compare what God did through people and angels to what God did directly. You can't compare natural things, spiritual, natural things, seriously dividing. All those natural things people see with what happened in the realm where people don't see. And so the scripture began to tell us in Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. Haggai chapter 2 verse 9, it says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. Temple of God that he built with, you know, the hands of men. Men did all of that. He said the glory of this latter temple that God is building himself will be greater than the glory of all the glory of the Old Testament and the temple that men built won't come close. That's what we're talking about, beholding the glory. You need to see that glory by the spirit, by the eye of your spirit. And he says the glory of this latter temple or this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace. Which means it's the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus will bring the peace of God. He said, my peace I give unto you. That peace never came until Jesus came. So he's talking about greater glory. Can I hear everybody say greater glory? And comparing it, I just want to come back and compare this so that you can see for yourself what the Holy Spirit said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, that's an incredible comparison of the ministry of the Old Testament and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember now, this is God himself. This is the Holy Spirit himself. We're not talking of angels. We're not talking of prophets. We're talking of God himself. So this incredible comparison, we read it on Friday. I want to read it back again. 2 Corinthians verse 3, from verse 7. I'm reading a New Living Translation, if you can give me that. From verse 7, the old way with laws etched where? Come on, talk to me. Look up here. Etched where? In stone. Led to, what did it lead to? So all of you that love the law, enjoy yourself. Read the Bible for yourself. Follow. You won't get off there and follow what the Bible is pointing you to. They're pulling you, come off the thing. You say, no, this is, he said, we lead you to death. There's no life in it. Life is only in Christ Jesus. The Bible says there is no law that can give life. None. Absolutely none. And there's no law that can make you perfect. Read it for yourself. It says, led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already what? Fading away. Continue. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory now? That's what Haggai is saying. The glory of this latter house will be greater than that of the former. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit now is giving what? Life, not the law. Now that the Holy Spirit is giving life, isn't it a far greater glory than the one that kills? Then continue. If the old way quit brings what? Condemnation. Now, all of you that love Ten Commandments, good luck to you. That's what you get. You don't get righteousness from there. You don't get justification from there. You get condemnation because there is no man that sinneth not. The law will finish you. He says, what it brings is condemnation. If it was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which what? Makes us right with God. That's what we're celebrating in Easter. We're not celebrating the laws of Moses. We're celebrating Jesus who brought us righteousness. The robe of righteousness. Continue. In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all, compared with what? The overwhelming glory of the new way. What's the new way? The New Testament. That's what Haggai was saying. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. Can we continue? Can we read me one or two more things? I think I'm done. I'm done with this one. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. And the Bible says that angels were watching this thing. They were really watching this thing. They were mesmerized at the great wisdom of God. Paul talking about, he said, the depth of the wisdom of God. Who can unfathom this thing? Who can unfathom the wisdom of God? Who can? So in 1 Peter 1 verse 11, we see what happened right there. 1 Peter 1 verse 11. It says, they wondered. I mean, the word wonder, what does it mean? To wonder is amazed. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ, which within them was talking about when he told them in advance. What did he tell them in advance? About Christ's suffering and his, I want to hear you, and his, I didn't hear you, and his, come on church, and his, come on church, and his, the greater glory of this new house God is building. The glory of this new temple. You are the house, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The glory that God is manifesting in making you his temple, in making you his son, in bringing his life into you, in pulling you out of the dung of iniquity and dung of bondage and every kind of thing and bringing you into that glory. The glory of it all, church. The act of God in it all, church. My brothers and sisters, amaze the prophets who God told this. They were completely mesmerized. So they were wondering, what's this situation? Man, it's unbelievable. When would this thing happen? He says, and now, this good news, is it not about the gospel? And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, sent from where? It is all so wonderful that even the angels eagerly watch these things happen. Even the angels were mesmerized. I mean, if the angels got mesmerized, that's something amazing. What God unleashed through Christ can't even begin to compare with anything. Can I hear amen? We need to go back to, before we dive into this work of God that we're celebrating today, you know, growing up, I just woke up. I mean, I remembered me on Easter, and then we say, we're celebrating Easter. To us, what mattered was the new dress. Easter chicken and rice. And you ask me, what are you celebrating? Say, Jesus rose from the dead. What did he mean? What did it mean to me? I had no idea. And then we're preparing to go to the market to watch Masquerade. Don't look at me like that. Didn't you go? That's all. That was Easter for us. What is Easter? Ah, the day. Jesus rose from the dead. So what is that all the story? That's not all the story. Let's delve into this act of God. That the Spirit of God is telling the church that the glory is amazing. And the Bible says, beholding this glory, your life begins to be transformed. Transformation is not because you decided to be good or better. It's by beholding this glory that the Holy Spirit begins to what? Transform you into all the benefits of these things that he died to give us. That's real Easter. Now, let's look at the Old Testament to see an illustration of what God did in the New Testament. That will help. I think we read it sometime last Sunday or two Sundays. Leviticus 1 from verse 1. The Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, Leviticus 1 verse 1, I'm reading New Living Translation. The Lord called to who? Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, give the following what? Instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. If the animal you present is a burnt offering, as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be a male with no defect. Christ, the sinless Lamb of God. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle by the Lord. Listen to the instruction now. Lay your what? Hand on the animal's head. And the Lord will accept its death in your place. To what? I didn't hear you. To what? I didn't hear you. To what? Purify you, making you right with him. Exactly what Jesus did for us. Then verse 5. Then after you lay your hands, he said, the Lord will now accept his death. Then the animal must now die. He must now what? Be slaughtered. Because what God accepts is his death in your place. So your sin is laid on him, transferred on him. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence. And Aaron's sons, the priests now, will present the animal's blood. You will see this thing play out in the New Testament. Exactly what Jesus did for us. This is it. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. And the Bible said all these things were done for our own glory. for our own glory. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. See what I'm talking about? His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our own ultimate glory before the world began. So all these things is for us so that our sins will be taken away. He will bear that sin and God will accept his death in my place. And because of that, God will not accept me. Ponder over it. The law will never give you this. You want to get it by the law? It's impossible. You get that. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So when this picture, are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Now let's go see what Jesus did. Now, Isaiah is the prophet that wrote it. Isaiah 53 from verse 5. I'm reading now New Living Translation. We read that now. We go down to Hebrew. But he was pierced for our what? You're writing. When you finish writing. He was pierced for our what? The animal. Put your hand. And God says, I will now accept his death. For your own death. And I will now accept you as righteous. But you have to kill it. And then the priest will take the blood, minister before me. The instruction. He was pierced for our what? Crushed for our what? He was beaten. So, remember the instruction. I will accept the death of this animal on your behalf. So, all of us like sheep have what? Strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our way. Yet the Lord, what do you mean laid? Somebody has to show me how to lay something on somebody. I'm going to steal somebody's bag to lay it on somebody's head for demonstration. So the Lord laid on the usher. What does it mean to lay? I had it, my iniquities. The Lord laid it on. Get the picture. He said, when you bring the animal, put your hands so that your sin is laid on him. The Lord took his hand. That's the mighty thing, God. God himself took it from me and laid it on him. And the God says, now kill him. When you kill him, I will accept his death. And count you righteous. Case closed. I don't know any other thing anybody's telling you here. It's no other story to tell. It's not that story to tell. You catch this, your faith will receive anything God has for you. So it says, where were we? All of us, like sheep, have what? Straight. We have left God's plan to follow. Our, yet the Lord, what? Laid how many on him? How many? The sins of all. All. The prostitute, the criminal, murderer, killed people, whatever it is, iniquity, adultery, fornication, lying, everything. All of it. All of it. Let's continue. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said why, because he was the Lamb of God. Do you know lambs are most docile animals? Lambs, they are the only animal without anything to defend themselves. They have no fangs, they have no nothing. And once the shepherd moves, in fact, where I came from, if you behave, if you are so docile and they say you are atol, you are sheep, it's used in a derogatory way, but that's the way God wants the church to be. To be totally dependent on the shepherd, to guide you, Once you are no more a sheep, you become a goat, you become wise in your own eyes, the wolves will tear you to shreds. He said, I've sent you like a sheep. Docile, easily treated. So let's continue what we're. He was oppressed and treated how? Harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. Continue. Unjustly condemned, he was laid away. No one cared that he died without a descendant. He has nobody. No, I'm not done. Go back there now. I just read half of that. That his life was cut short in midstream, because he died at 30. In midstream. But he was struck down. Why? For the rebellion of my people. Continue. The next verse. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a what? A criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Angels were watching. How can God do this to his own son? You won't even do it to your son. Can't do it to your son. Heaven was mesmerized. How can this be? Yet when his life is made and what? Offering for sin, he will have many. Who are they? See, he did it for our glory. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will now prosper in his. What is his good plan? When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be what? Come on, he'll be what, church? I didn't hear you. He'll be what? I didn't hear you. He'll be what? I want you to say it louder. He'll be what? I didn't hear you yet. He'll be what? Tell somebody near you, he'll be satisfied. Go ahead. When he sees all is accomplished, the benefits of it, he sees you in a new life, healed, delivered, blessed, walking in abundance. He sees you. He said, whoa, that's why I died. The Bible says he will be what? Satisfied. He'll be very happy. But if you deny those things, you don't want to accept them. You want to go to the law of Moses. He said, no. You make me unhappy. When he sees all this that's accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience now, because of that God did, my righteous servant will make it possible for many now to be what? Counted what? Come on, church. Righteous. Why? For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. That animal must be killed. He exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore. Church, he bore. I didn't hear you. He bore. He bore. I want you to read it differently. He said, he bore my sins. Come on, let's go. He bore my sins. Come on, let's go. He bore my sins. Come on, let's go. He bore my sins and interceded for me. Come on, and interceded. And interceded for me. Now, come on, let's say it again. He bore my sins and interceded for me. Come on, let's say it again. He bore my sins and interceded for me. Come on, let's say it one more time. He bore my sins and interceded for me. I say, praise the Lord now. Hallelujah. That animal carries the sin. You kill it. God says, I will accept his death as your own righteousness. I will accept you. Case closed. Now somebody comes, it doesn't come with an animal. He says, God, check me out. You don't know how good I've been. God will kick him out. Because the instruction is this. Now, Easter morning, Jesus became, you know, we talked about his being the sacrificial lamb. Remember what God said, the instruction. The priest will not take the blood and minister at my altar. That's the instruction. So Jesus rose up and became the God's high priest. Because nobody was found worthy to do this ministry except God himself. So he took his blood. Exactly like that instruction. That when you kill that animal, the priest will take that blood, must take that blood, and must minister before God with it. So he took his blood and went to the altar of God. Let's read it. Hebrews 9:11. So Christ, New Living Translation. So Christ has become what? I didn't hear you. What has he become? He was the lamb, but now he has become, he was the lamb. What has he become now? The high priest. He was the lamb. We read about the lamb on the cross that was killed. And this same lamb changed, rose up now and became the high priest over all the good things that have come. All the good things that have come. All the benefits accruing to us through this sacrifice. He has entered the greater, more perfect, what? Tabernacle, where? Which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. Now remember, the scripture says if Christ did not rise, we won't have a great high priest. The blood will not be used to minister them. He said we'll be very miserable. Our faith will be what? Waste of time. Because the instruction must be followed to the letter. Must be followed to the letter. Let's continue. Now with his own blood. Not the blood of goats and calf. He entered what? The most holy place once for all times and secured now our redemption. How? Forever. I like the way my son put it. He said there is no refund. That God's gift. No reform. No repentance. Once given, always given. Tell your neighbor, there's no refund. So you're not, God is not saying refund me the redemption. No. You know your neighbor didn't get it. Tell your neighbor, there's no refund here. Once given, always given. He says, let's read verse 12, everybody. Let's read it together. Let's go. One, two, go to verse 12. We're not 22. Are you a Gentile? Let's read. One, two, go. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured. You are going to say, and secured my redemption forever. Let's restart again. Let's go. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all times and secured my redemption forever. And secured my redemption. You are not doing what I'm doing. I'm doing like this. Come on, let's go. And secured my redemption. Come on, say it one more time. And secured my redemption. And tell your neighbor, and there's no refund. If you get this, shout hallelujah. And so the scripture says, we must see this glorious act of God. We must see it. You must see it. You must behold it. You must understand it. It must become a reality in your understanding. For the Spirit of God to begin to manifest these things in your life. The benefits of his being crucified, he's resurrecting and becoming your high priest and going with his blood to secure a redemption. You must see that thing. You must understand it. It's not something you talk in your mental realm. You must have a revelation of this spiritual thing that the Bible called a mystery. That is now being revealed. The word revealed is not just taught. It's being revealed. Something revealed is something you are unveiling so somebody can see the inside. And so, in that's our theme for the Easter now. 2 Corinthians 3:16. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because I'm reading Amplified AMPC. AMPC. And all of us, how many of us? How many of us? As with unveiled face. Why? Because we continue, the word continue is important. Church, that's what Jesus said. If you continue in my word. He didn't say you look once. No. That's why here when I teach you, the Lord told me, he said, I would rather you repeat things and go slow than you run, nobody knows what you're talking about. And the scripture says, if you remind Christians of these things, you are a good minister. I will show you why. It says, continue to behold. What did I say? What did I say, church? But we have no time. We are busy. Are we not busy? Calling for them. Book me extra hour. A time and a half. We don't have time for this. Book me. Oh. Book me. I do quiet time. Quiet time. Quiet time you go. Have you ever seen lovers who do quiet time only? In the morning, you say to your wife, I have only 30 minutes to talk to you. Let's talk. Then after that, see you. Throughout the day, you don't talk again. Until the set time. You come to your wife and say, honey, can we not talk? And you say, yeah. Then your food, I didn't like it. I don't like the way you talked to me yesterday. The children, you didn't take care of them. Because complain to God. Praise for where? 30 minutes you go. How does that relationship develop? How does intimacy come? Continue means you. It's what you do continuously. What you do continuously. What you do what? Continuously. Continuously. Continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and constantly being transformed into this very image in ever increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to what? Another degree of glory. So the Bible says for us to continuously focus on this, there's one word, meditate on it. What did I say? What does meditate mean? Eddie, help me here. What does meditate mean? To ponder. What else? What else? Come on, tell me. What does meditate mean? To think, to regurgitate and think. You know, and when a goat eats grass, when it settles down, it regurgitates it and chews it further. So to meditate is you've read it, but there are when you can bring it up and begin to meditate on it. Let me tell you, we meditate on things all the time. But on the wrong things. What they told me yesterday, I didn't like. We meditate always on the wrong things. But meditation, we do. We do. So the Bible says we should meditate on these things. We should think on them. What other words do we use for meditation? Come on. Huh? Huh? To think about? Huh? To dwell on it? Do you know the things we dwell on a lot? We dwell on so many things now. We dwell on mercies. They are doing sales. We dwell on sales. We dwell on what is this thing we carry around in our bags? We go and we give them at the counter and we get discount. What do they call it? Coupons. We dwell on coupons. We dwell on what your husband did to you 5 years ago. How the man didn't doesn't love you again. Everywhere is quiet now. You dwell on your mother-in-law is visiting. I have a lot of things we dwell on that are worthless, totally useless. The Bible says if you want to dwell on anything, dwell on things that are honorable, things that are of good report, things that are beautiful. Forget all these ones. they are totally irrelevant to your spiritual well-being. So you meditate on these things. Meditate on your redemptive privileges. Meditate on it day and night. When I wake up to pray, I start from there. When I talk, praise God for them, for all my redemptive privileges, I go through them like a list in my brain. I begin to thank God that I'm not coming to you in my righteousness. I don't have any. I said, I'm grateful you gave me your righteousness as a gift, and I dress in it. I said, I come to you through the power of the blood, the sanctifying power of the blood, that you told me that I'm clean by that. You laid my iniquities on him, and you count me righteous. I step boldly because of him. I say this all. I can tell you, man, 1 hour, I don't even know time. I'm blessing God for even for entrance, for acceptance in the beloved, accepted by his spirit. I'm blessing God for his word that said I can come boldly before the throne. By the time I'm gone 15, 20, my faith is up. The confidence is there. And I begin to worship him. Because he says, if I see these things in your life, it makes me happy. I begin to worship him. I say, Lord, you redeemed me from all destruction, all of it. The Spirit of Christ is in me. He gives life to my mortal bodies. My heart beats normal. My heart beats normal. My kidney works because he received life. Every organ of my body, my blood pressure is normal. My metabolism works well. Everything. Because the Spirit of Christ is giving it life continuous. It's powered by him. I thank him that I'm not under the curse. I'm blessed with the blessings of Abraham. I bless the work of the Lord in my hand. I thank God I'm blessed. I thank God my children are blessed. I thank God for the increase the blessing makes when gives on me. I bless God for favors Jesus died for me to enjoy. I'm not closing my mouth. Somebody shout hallelujah. I run up that step. If I run up that, I don't go. I run up that step and we don't. Well, I won't even know I run up this step. I told you next month I'm driving to Nazareth, 13 hours, and that'll be fun because the Lord is the strength of my life. Don't live in unbelief, it destroys your blessings. All these things we are talking about is real, totally real. That's why you confess them. You confess them because meditation, part of meditation is to mutter, is to say. Let me tell us something. Meditation is, you know how you do physical exercise to train your body? Meditation trains your mind to stop thinking on things that destroy you. Meditation trains your mind. It's mind training to discipline your mind to stay on the things that are useful, that adds value to you. That's why meditation is important. Meditation is training your mind. Like you do physical exercise every day. You have to meditate and train your mind to be disciplined. So if your mind is trained to where you don't want it to go, you bring it what? Back here and say, this is where you stay. You are staying focused on Christ. You are not going anywhere. That's what meditation is. Praise the Lord. And then the reason you meditate is because we forget. Let me show us an example and I close with that. Remember Israel? All the mighty work that God did for them in Egypt, they saw it. Come on, church. Yeah. And then they saw the Red Sea divide. You think that will keep them to trust God in trouble? It's a lie. Let me show you what happened there. Exodus 14, 31. And Israel saw the great work. Exodus 14, 31. Let's read it together. Come on, let's go. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believe the Lord and his servant Moses. What was that great work? The Red Sea divided. Man, they saw it. They saw it. They saw it. And they feared the Lord. Something happened here on Friday. Somebody shared a testimony. I read it in books. I've never seen it happen. He said, Pastor, while you were preaching here, he said, I was having goose pimples, and suddenly my hand was oily, producing oil. What was it producing? Oil. I said, really? He said, even now. I said, well, I read it in Shambach's ministry that he'll be preaching and people's hand will be oil. I never saw it before. It's the first time I saw it. He said, Pastor, see my hand outside the after service. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You heard me? Say, see my hand. So they saw these miracles of God, all these miracles that God did in Israel. Look at verse 15, verse 1. 15, verse 1. What happened after that? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown. You can read it continuous. So many verses of singing and rejoicing. And not only that, Miriam, verse 20, Exodus 15, verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels, with dancing. Now, let me show you what happened after that. Go to verse 22. They were dancing, though. Go to 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went, how many days? 3 days ago, they were singing. Right? They went 3 days in the wilderness and found what? And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were, therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people, you are not reading that one. And the people, I didn't hear you. And the people and speak against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? 3 days ago, they were dancing in groups all over town. Only 3 days ago, they saw Red Sea part, and they were, whoa, this God is awesome, wonderful, wonderful. Only 3 days ago, it's not 1 month yet, though. They didn't see water to drink. They started to mum. Go to the next chapter. See what I'm telling you. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of children of Israel came. Yeah, from verse 1. Came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. This is now the second month. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses. They were singing, no? This is second month. Second month. They murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, let's read together what they said. Would to God we had what? Die by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to do what? To kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's what we do. We do it. He has given me victory. My friend, let me not hear you here. Here, and then you dance style. Oh, man, God is awesome. Then you lift up your hand and he has given us. It's not 2 hours you go home. Trouble comes. You murmur, complain, you can't trust God. You start looking for help where there is no help. You complain, you blame everybody. Blame them, they didn't come and see me. Should come and visit me. They don't know what I'm fluffering. No. We do it. Like them. We do it. You see God heal people. You see incredible miracles. What miracle hasn't gone down here? Which one will I count? You see? This my brother, a man. You heard his testimony. The thing that was killing them in this family stopped short because he stood on the word. He gave that incredible testimony. He was almost dying. Many of you here are living witnesses of what you have experienced with God personally that is amazing. 2 days after, challenges come. You have no job. You know this. The water is bitter. This. He said, oh my God. Everywhere is quiet. That's why meditation is important. Because you must meditate on this thing. So that when challenges come, you discipline your mind to stay on what God said. Challenges comes to all of us, including me. Don't mind this thing I'm wearing, no. It's cover. Challenges comes to me, a man. I'm human being like you. If I tell you some of my own, you will say, Pastor, I don't want to take your place, please. Stay where you are. Yeah, enjoy yourself. The Bible says in the world you will have tribulations. But let not your heart, don't let it stray. Don't let it stray. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind and heart is stayed on him. Meditate on these truths. They are solid truths. You can stake your life on them. First Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself what? Holy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. If you don't, you won't profit, you won't show. For without faith, it will profit you nothing. So yeah, put another translation there. Go back to that 15. 1 Timothy 4:15. If you can't get it, let's move on. My time is almost up. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. What did God say to Joshua? Meditate on these things day and night. So you can now be observed to be able to do them, to stand on them day and night. It's not 30 minutes morning. I did the quiet time thing. After quiet time, you will never think about God again. Throughout the day, nothing about God crosses your mind. You are too busy. Matter ministry takes over. And by 4 o'clock, you have forgotten what you read. You are talking like the carnal people. You are talking like you are depending on your carnal mind. You are depending on what you see. Sometimes you say, God told me when God told you nothing. James 1:25 tells us that this blessing comes when we put our minds on. But whosoever looks into this perfect law of liberty, that is love, and continueth, you see the word continuing? Continueth looking therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall now be blessed. His deed. When it's not working, we resort to the law of Moses, thinking you can do better to earn it. The reason you're not meditating on it. Meditate on it day and night, continually looking in it. Continue. The devil will come and tell you, hey, is it one? Yes, it's only Jesus. What else is the answer? Where else do you find the blessing? Look into the word. Christ is the word. The book of Revelation says his name is the word of God. Look into it. Don't look anywhere else. The Bible says look unto Jesus. Yes. Keep looking on it. Don't listen to the devil. Look on it. Because he knows that if he takes your eyes off of Jesus, you are done. You are done. You go to Moses and make religion out of it. And he gives you rituals that you do midnight, 1 a.m., useless, worthless stuff. And God said, I finished this thing for you. What are you doing here? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. I want you to bow down and think.